flowers are blooming, the grass is growing, and it's time to chop the weeds. Thanks to our sponsors at Manscaped, you can trim those holes safely and efficiently. I'm talking about ball trimmers, y'all. Manscaped, the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming, have an exclusive offer for the Thomas Island audience. If you use our code, TAMA, and you'll get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Join the 2 million men who trust Manscaped. They're here to make sure your balls are trimmed and smelling nice. After all, it's time for some spring cleaning. Manscaped has all the tools to get you spring ready. Have you heard about the Weed Whacker? It's a nose and ear hair trimmer that provides proprietary skin-safe technology which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. There's no more gross nose hairs flying off into the wind. Plus, the premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor and a 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Manscaped is making it easier than ever to whack your weeds and also to make sure that you have the most confidence while also providing hygiene. Speaking of incredible hygiene, Manscaped has formulations to keep you fresh and ready for everything that comes your way all day. The Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. It's starting to get hot outside, and this is crucial for your balls to stop sticking to your leg. I use it. It's great, especially as the summertime gets swampier. If you go to manscaped.com right now and use the code TAMA, you'll get 20% off and free shipping. That's right, use the code TAMA for free shipping and 20% off at manscaped.com. Manscaped, shave your balls.
Guys, we dropped our summer collection right now. July 4th weekend is out now on thomasisland.com. That's tank tops, hats, board shorts. We got your summer needs right here, right now on thomasisland.com. Ross, tell them what they need to go get.
That's right. If you head over to thomasisland.com right now, you can get tank tops. We got blue, we got green, we got pink, we got all kinds of colors to switch up your wardrobe. We got hats, we got shorts, we got all kinds of merch coming your way. thomasisland.com. Get it now because it is not going to last long.
That's right. That's right, Ross. It is not going to last long. This is a limited edition 2020 summer, okay? 2020 summer. Your collection, yours, you can have it right now on thomasisland.com. You need to switch up your wardrobe. There's too much black going on. You need to put a little life into your wardrobe right now with some color, some vibrant colors to liven up your livelihood, okay? That's thomasisland.com. Grab your summer gear, summer collection. Go right now, thomasisland.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode here on Thomas Island with my co-host, Ross Berman. Brother, how you doing today?
Boy, I am weary, Tom. I'm getting my body used to covering New Japan again. The company's back. The king of sports has returned. Last night, I was probably in bed by 8.
What a trooper, man. What a trooper. All right.
That's what you pay me the big bucks for.
So how'd you feel about it, man? Tell me about New Japan. It
was a great show. A lot of people were showing off their kind of post-quarantine physiques. Uemura has doubled in size. It seems the boy is huge. Ooh. Now. Nothing but muscle. You got it. Amazing what 110 days can do.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a really kind of joyous, fun, entertaining show full of like preview tag matches for the New Japan Cup. Your boys in Bullet Club got a fun win over Goto, Yoshihashi, Toru Yano, and Onma. That was a fun night. Tetsuya Naito showed off a new move, like a flipping DDT. So it's a...
It's keeping busy over there.
What I'm saying, it seems like you're not the only one who's been plotting over the past 100 days and trying to figure out what the future looks like. Have you heard anything from New Japan? Are they talking to you yet?
I came in just to watch a little bit. I'm planning to wrestle that tonight. I saw some of the matches and I've been seeing on social media, on Twitter, everybody's giving, and I was able to see the production. I tweeted about it. I really liked it. I liked the production of it. I almost forgot there wasn't any fans just from the way it was done. Maybe it's me. Is that has always been before?
I think part of it's because Japanese crowds are known for being very, you know, they're reserved. And then because the announcers are still in the same building, on all of the big, like, dramatic moments, they're yelling at the top of their lungs. So there's still this sound echoing through the arena when, like, the big moments are happening. And so it didn't feel as empty as I think some of the other empty arena shows have kind of felt. And so that was... What did you think of, like, the because they kind of had, like, a stage set up instead of, like, your usual ramp. What did you think of the
I liked it. I felt this whole time I was scared that they were trying to do a show out at the dojo. And I was like, please don't do that. Please don't do that. That would look like. But I'm glad that the way they set it up, it was beautiful. I'm like, yes, this is it, you know. And at the whole shebang of it, I really liked. And I put it out. They might be changing my mind.
They're making you reconsider that empty arena format.
Yeah, you know, I've been against that this whole pandemic.
You've been adamant that, like, you wanna perform for some fans. And I mean, by the time the New Japan Cup's over, they'll have 30% capacity. The empty arena show is just for the 15th. The New Japan Cup will have, I believe, around 1/3. Yeah. So there will be fans getting back into the arena. But they also did, apparently New Japan did a taping. A super secret taping in Los Angeles it's either in the LA dojo or in the area with a lot of locals. Do you hear anything about this?
All that. I read a little bit from, you know, the gossip going on social media. Mm. I saw, they had, the talk was they had some of the guys from the LA dojo, the young boys from the LA dojo, the graduates, and they had a big name that came from, who's a big name in the UFC, Tom
Lawler, yeah, Filthy Tom Lawler from MLW, formerly from UFC. He's apparently part of this, I believe it was called Lions Collision, something along those lines. There's still no word on when New Japan will be showing that, but that apparently those tapings took place in LA. Does this kind of lighten a fire under you to maybe, because you've occasionally from time to time dropped the idea of there being some kind of East Coast New Japan situation.
I'm definitely, you know, now that they didn't let me know about that thing going down in the West Coast, I'm like, well, I guess do I have to go off on my own and create my own East Coast stuff here without telling anybody first? So
they didn't even tell you.
They didn't tell me, man. I'm in the dark, bro. I'm telling you, I'm in the same pandemic as all y'all, man. I'm getting treated like guys.
you're like Eric Andre in that meme where he's outside the White House. Let me in. Let me in. I just want to wrestle.
Why won't they tell me anything? I'm excited. I'm really excited. It's good to hear that what they're doing out there in the West Coast. And I'm hoping that we get something popping off here in the East Coast. At least prevent me, you know, at risk from traveling across country and across.
Exactly. And it sounds like there's a lot of East Coast guys in your area. It sounds like, you could put together a pretty good show just with the people trapped in Florida right now.
No. I mean, we got the whole entire BC squad mostly out here in the East Coast, you know, so you're right. We can throw it down. We'll see, man. Let me call up the president real quick, man. Let me write him an email.
Yo, just say, get Harold on the phone. Get Harold on the phone. Let him know, man.
But, hey, yeah. So I'm hoping. I'm crossing my fingers that maybe this could be a possibility.
And it does speak to the way the Japanese government has been handling the coronavirus outbreak, because there was even an intermission during the show where they were disinfecting. Literally, they had the cameras on the ring and on the guardrails where you could see in full, like, raincoats and masks, what I assume were some other young lions, disinfecting the entire arena. And because Japan is no longer in a state of emergency, like I said, they're going to be able to have crowds again. And so it was nice to watch a wrestling show that doesn't make you kind of clutch your pearls and go, what am I a part of? And so that was, I think, the most relieving part of the evening, was to really see the precautions being taken, seeing the plexiglass between the announcers and Liger in a separate room somewhere. Yeah. Like, it's different, but hey, I got to hear the coin drop before Okada's theme, so I can't complain.
Oh, come on. It's
been hundreds of days.
Come on. Nah, man.
And hey, I'm waiting to hear Guerrilla Tactics. That's the one I'm waiting for. Like, I'll take the coin drop now.
The whole world, Ross, is waiting on it. I'm waiting on it. I'm ready to go in there and slap somebody around, man. Truthfully, I'm so eager to get in that ring.
I believe, man.
Oof.
You've been working out. You've been storing up that potential energy. You got to let it out. You got
to
get it.
Oh, man. I've been honing in, trying to get my sleep, proper sleep, 6 to 8 hours of sleep, get up early, hit that gym, 3 hours, knock it out. Wait, I'm exaggerating when I say 3 hours. I mean, I'll go 2.5, all right? 2.5.
The shower in the Schwitz is part of it. That's part of the workout.
Yeah, man. So it's good to see New Japan back up and running. As every we can feel the excitement with from all the players, all the wrestlers, fans. Just seeing their interaction online last night and this morning, early this morning, was it got me really excited. So we're back and running, and I'm very happy. I'm very, very happy now. Just get me in the ring.
I was gonna say we gotta get you over there. We gotta get you out of that house. You're going stir crazy. Well, while you're stuck in the house, you wanna maybe take a little walk down memory lane?
Oh, of course, man. Definitely. What's the subject for today, Ross? What are we gonna talk about?
Today I figured we could go all the way back. All the way back to the beginning. Of even before you were Tama Tonga, when you were just a kid growing up on the Isle of Tonga. Oh. We're going to talk about the island today. Not Tama's Island.
Back. I thought you were going to go back to like the beginning of like GQ Banks and Kala.
We've talked about King Haku Jr. We've talked about Puerto Rico. It's time for Tama's Island to talk about Tama's original island.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
So what's the first thing that comes to mind when I throw the term the Isle of Tonga at you? When you think of Tonga, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Freedom.
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 Freedom. Okay.
Yeah.
Go deeper on that. What was the big freedom of Tonga?
And so there's not a lot going on over there. There's not a lot. It's a very laid back, it's a poor country, but we're content with what we have, with what little we have, you know? And I was very, I'll tell you from the beginning, I was born here in America, but I was raised in the islands since the age of 2 or 3 years old. And so from my earliest memory, just freedom to, I was all over the island, man. You remember I told you I was kind of like Mowgli. I looked like Mowgli, right? From Jungle.
You put up the picture. It's a spitting image.
Spitting image.
You
thought I was bullshitting, didn't you? Yeah.
Well, no, I thought you were being like, well, I was an island kid. I looked like Mowgli. But you literally, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Disney stole something and went, like, traveled in time and stole your image.
Yeah, man.
You might have a case there.
I started, from what I can remember from when I was a child, I was just free. There was no restriction. My mother, a wild child, man. Yeah. Wild child. My mother was always working at like the flea market. My grandpa had a farm, and it was seasonal. He did peanuts, watermelons. He grew. He had cows, horses. He had anything, and he changed it from season to season. So my mom was always at the flea market selling what we made at the farm, what we grew at the farm. So nobody was really home to watch over me.
Okay.
So I had a lot of freedom, and I was supposed to be going to school, but school wasn't cool. So
what was cool? What were you going to? Oh
man, I was climbing up mango trees on other people's property, stealing their mangoes, and I was Mowgli, man. I was like a monkey all over the place, bro. I think at 5-6 years old, I was all over the damn island. I knew every area and every square feet of.
Are you taking the mangoes to like bring home, or are you just taking them to take them? What's the
Me and my friends, we eat them. You know? Oh yeah, we eat them and. Anything I can get, anything for free, you know. Even stealing from all my neighbors'
yards. You're hustling. You got, you know.
I was hustling then, man. I'm still hustling now. But it, yeah. So our school, we had a school, and I just wasn't very focused on schools. Like the freedom to roam everywhere, and in the age of 6. I knew that I didn't want that. I didn't want this, and school was what I didn't want. And so,
okay.
I lacked school a lot, and you could tell then too. Mm-hmm. So, but what I fell behind in school, I made up for it with just street smart and island smart. So you know, I was a little badass, man.
Expand on that, because you said there's things you. By the time you're 6 or 7, there's things you do and there's things you don't do, and school is something you don't do. What are like the things that were really you knew you wanted to do? You're talking about stealing coconut or stealing mangoes.
Yeah, coconuts too, right? Man. You're stealing coconuts too. Okay, that's whatever kind of fruit everybody has.
What else is kind of calling to you?
I mean, so there was a lagoon. Our school was right next to a lagoon.
And okay,
I used to like walk to school. And then through school to the lagoon, and this go while school was happening, I was just at the lagoon. So, and I was fishing and learned how to fish, learned how to swim, learned how to just live off the land.
Yeah, like, so you're not like messing around. You're doing full on survivalist. Like you're learning to feed yourself. You're learning to provide for not just you but for your friends. Like you're learning important stuff. You're just not
in survival mode, man. I'm telling you. Yeah, so. Yeah, so, and it was nice. It was a lot of freedom, but definitely no structure. No, a lot of things weren't taught to me. I didn't pick up, especially in school, math, all that. We were supposed to learn in school, I wasn't learning. So, yeah, that became a major problem. Major.
I was in remedial math class, so I understand that completely, where math will trip you up sometimes. But tell me more about your family at the time, because like you said, your mother is selling the crops and the bears at the farmer's market. What were they like raising you?
Strict, like my grandpa was super strict. My grandpa had worked very hard from a very young age, and he had built himself a nice home, career. He was a principal at a college. And then went into, he traveled, he lived in Fiji, Hawaii, all over. And then he came back to Tonga and he got some land and he started farming. But he was very successful in that way. Mm-hmm. And my mother, she came back to Tonga. She lived in Hawaii, to even California, and she worked out there. But then she came back to Tonga to help, I think, my grandpa. And also, I think we just came back. I came back. I don't know the real reason, but she was very, we had like a little store in front of our house.
Okay.
And my grandpa would go to the farm. He'd farm all these watermelons and all that, right? And my mother would man the little store that we had in front of our house. And our store had, I mean, whatever you needed, you know, bread, eggs, to whatever, anything like any store would have. But at the same time, when she would also man the flea market was more in downtown near the capital, and she'd go over there and sell anything that came from our farm. We would put that out at the flea market to sell.
Okay.
And so, you know, so it was like she was manning two operations going on. So you can see that everybody was busy. I mean, I was busy too, but you know, I wasn't busy. I wasn't very busy doing what I was supposed to be doing.
This is why I kind of wanted to ask about your, because you said your grandfather was not only a principal, but then he also bought land and raised and, you know, was living off of the land. And so he kind of comes from both of the world. He has the book smarts to be principal, but he's also got the street smarts to learn all of the farming. And so how did he feel about the fact that you were focusing more on the street smarts than the book smarts?
I don't know if he really knew what was going on. Mostly with me, he was just so busy with work.
Gotcha.
I just had my own agenda, my own plans going on. And as long as I was out of everybody's hair, I was, you know, stay ghost, stay out of mind, right? Out of sight, out of mind it's the same. Yeah, that was my plan. Stay out of sight, stay out of mind. But the crazy thing is, so the part of Tonga that we're from is called Mu'a, M-U-A, Mu'a. And it's a small little village. Mm-hmm. And so at nighttime when I wasn't home by like, I'd say 5 or 6, my mom would come back from doing everything. And if I'm not home, she'll just go outside and scream my name, you know?
Okay.
And just scream it real loud. And I could hear it. I could hear it. However far I was, I could hear it. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I turned on my friends. I gotta go. And I start running home. And I start running home, man. And, you know, and I got to run like, shoot. I got to jump over people's fences in the back, run through the backyards. Because
oh, I was whooping.
You know? So I was coming in to get an ass whooping. If I wasn't home, you know, whatever I was supposed to do. So, oh, man. Yeah. So those were regulars for me. Yeah, that's our culture, though. You know, ass whoopings are a part of our culture. Yeah. I got to do it a lot.
So tell me more about the lagoon by your school, because you said you learned to kind of like fish there, but it sounds like it was very much like this.
Yeah, it was
eating spot. It was, you know, a very
spot. At 12 noon, the water, it was low tide. It would go down low. The water would go down low, and this lagoon is famous in Tonga. It's where we met our first white settlers. Captain Cook came in.
Oh, okay.
And docked when he came to the what he called then was the Friendly Islands. Mm-hmm. Little did he know that we were friendly, but we were planning to kill him.
But, yeah, I was going to say, Cook did not end well.
Yeah. But, you know, the other island did that to him out in Hawaii. So, but the lagoon that we're at is where he first made his first landing. And I think he brought over pig and horse, introduced that to our island. So, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it was beautiful. And then high tide would come in at 5 o'clock. About 4 or 5 o'clock, high tide to come in, and yeah, it's a beautiful spot. It was a beautiful spot than what I remember.
Okay, yeah, I was about to say, is it still there? Is it just?
I went back 2 years ago. It was the first time I went back in 25 years, and once I left when I was a kid, I came back 2 years or 3 years ago. I'm sorry, and it isn't so beautiful no more. It's just different. It's not what I used to remember. Everything was bigger then. You know, when you're younger, everything's big, and then you get older, you go back to the same spot, and it's like, no, this is just not it. And this is smaller now, and just a little dirtier. And yeah, so it was a lot of changes there. But the lagoon was beautiful.
What were you catching in that lagoon? What was biting a lot?
I don't know. Big fish.
Oh, you're just catching the fish.
You know, I didn't know names of fishes back then. I still don't to this day. I
just you don't have to. I'm just curious.
Small yellow fish, big blue fish. I didn't know. We named them. So, this is my friend Marlin. And that's Nemo.
I was going to say, how else did you kind of explore the freedom of this life you were living on Tonga? Because it's like you said, your mother's, your grandfather are very busy, so they're just kind of keeping to themselves. You're catching fish, you're stealing mangoes. What else is the freedom of this island kind of allowing you to discover?
Everything. I remember building a slingshot, and it was because I watched other kids do it, and I built it off. I went and jacked somebody's tires off their bike. And I cut it up, and I made a slingshot out of it.
Just out of a tire.
The tire, yeah. You cut up the inside. Well, see, the outside tire is rough, so you have to go inside the tire. It's a softer inside the tire. It's a softer rubber that you blow up first. Yeah. So you
gotcha.
the outer layer you just toss, but the inside you cut that up into two strips, tie it into like a V thing, and then you got your deal. Yeah, you got your slingshot. Yeah, I know.
Learn things.
Uh huh.
Passing on that knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how did making a slingshot turn out? Did it work right away, or was it?
Yeah,
was it
kind of a couple, you know, trial and errors here and there. But once you figure it out, you know, it was there. Kites, building kites, all type of kites. There was just so much freedom to. There was nothing else. We didn't have. Mm-hmm. Most people in Tonga didn't have TVs. Mm-hmm. No, my family had it. We were kind of middle class. Because of what my grandfather was doing, and you know, we had as a family, we were able to, you know, and we had a lot of family living out in America, so they were sending us stuff.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So we had a TV. It was fuzzy, but I remember watching He-Man. He-Man was it was fuzzy, but I was like, "What in the world is this? What is you know?" The first time seeing it was insane to me. You know, cartoons I remember. We used to leave our door open because all the kids, you know, all the kids would, we had a fence around the house, but the kids would stand outside the fence and try to peek in through the doors. I mean, that was normal for us. Like,
watching your TV through the windows.
Yeah. So I remember that. So, I mean, whatever we can get ourselves into, we were trying to do it, and anything to keep ourselves entertained. That was the thing. So, you know, whoever had the greatest idea, we were doing it. Actually, whoever had any idea, really, it wasn't greatest. It was just any idea. So we were just out there trying to do whatever. And
Nice. And so this, when you're kind of trying to keep yourself entertained, you said you're watching He-Man. What music were you listening to when you were?
I don't listen to music. It isn't like how it is here in America.
Gotcha.
But they had like Tongan music, but that I just didn't care for it. It was I just never thought that was a thing to do, sit around and listen to music. I was just too young. Yeah. You know? I was just too young. I was just roaming around. My grandpa sometimes took me to the farm to go work and help him out, but I wasn't much of a big help. So
I was big on manual labor.
6 years old. Damn you, grandpa.
What 6 year old doesn't want to do backbreaking labor for their grandfather?
Oh man, yeah. It was a time, man. It was a time that was just freely just careless and carefree, I would say. I think would be a better choice of word. It was just
Because it doesn't sound like a dangerous time in here. It just very sounds like this idyllic flying kites, fishing. Yeah. Like it's
to my awareness, you know, to my knowledge, there wasn't nothing like that. We were just felt like the island was just too poor to be in danger of anything. Nobody was, you know,
you're all just surviving. There's no,
It was just chill, a lot of chilling. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of doing nothing. Everybody was just doing, if they had a farm, they worked it. And we would have Sundays was, I don't know if you know this, but a lot of countries on Sundays, there's nothing's open if they're big on the religion, you know, and Tonga's like that. Mm-hmm. On Sundays, no stores open. Everything is by law is closed.
Okay.
So that's a day of
They go full blown Sabbath.
Yeah, full blown. And so we go to church and there's a feast going on after that.
Okay.
And you come home and chill out. No stores, no nothing is open, and you're pretty much screwed if you're trying to buy anything that day. So
I was gonna say, there's some counties in the United States like that where I've definitely been stuck on a Sunday. Did you have to learn to cook a lot growing up, or was it
we that was the elders and there's a cooking style what they call umu. And basically they dig a hole and they light these lava rocks up. They heat it up for a very long time. Then they drop these lava rocks in the hole, big hole. And then they put some blankets over it and stuff and foil or whatever to have a layer in between the rock and whatever food that you're going to put on top. And then you put the food on top, usually a lot of food that they're wrapped up in foil, put it on top. And then on top of that, you put another layer of blankets and foil, and then you cover it up with the rest of the dirt, so it's just like a mound of dirt.
Ooh.
and you just leave it like that to cook for I don't know how long. Yeah, could be hours, could be I don't know half a day. I can't tell my time.
That smells good all day.
Oh, bro, it's great, man. It's great. It's a great way. And sometimes they have like a pig. They'll gut a pig, take between his through his butt and out his mouth, and just roast it over a fire. You know, turning it like a luau style.
Yeah.
Yeah, and gotcha. Then you know what, the other food is cooking in the umu, and yeah, man, that was if you're having a feast on a Sunday, and you know, yeah, usually. That's on holidays or when you have like guests or some important somebody's birthday or wedding and whatnot. Yeah. So
awesome.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, it's nice. It was nice memories back then. I think my world started to turn when I was 8 years old. Yeah, it was in 1991 when everything just kind of started. You know, I took a drastic change.
All right, let's take me through 1991, because it's like you said, it's a very important year. It's we talked about this. It's when you finally get adopted by Haku and your maternal aunt and taken to Florida. What is the genesis of you getting adopted from Tonga? How did this start?
Oh, so my aunt. You know, my aunt, which is Haku's wife, came for vacation in Tonga to visit us, and I had never met her. Mm-hmm. And she brought down my brother, who's really my cousin, her son, Tangaloa, and his sister, Vika. Okay. And so they all came in 1991. He's 8 years old. I'm 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I meet them for the first time. The kids don't speak Tongan at all. They just speak English. You know, they were born in Hawaii, New Zealand. So they're pure speak English. And so I remember my first time meeting Tangaloa. Oh, he hated me. He hated me so much.
Yeah. What was the resentment?
I remember him coming down, and we were just all the kids, all the cousins was over all playing, and I was just like annoying kid. Like, you ever watch The Wild Thornberries, and it had that little
redheaded kid? Yeah. Yeah.
I was like Donnie. I was kind of like a real hyper kid, jumping around, and I remember my brother was just looking at me. Tangaloa looking at me with his face like, what the hell? And I remember this phrase right here. It was the first English phrase that I could remember anybody saying to me that I remember vividly in Tonga. What is your problem? And I was such a, you know, and I had no clue what he meant.
Yeah,
I just turned around, repeated right back like a parrot. What's your problem?
that's the last thing you want to reply to. What's your problem?
I don't know what it means. He's like, "What is your problem?" And he says the second time, I'm like, "What's your problem?" Oh my God, what is your problem? And then and I was just like, "What's your problem? What's your problem? What's your problem?" Running around. and I remember my cousin, and my cousin her name is Lucianne, and she comes over and she spoke English, and but she spoke English and Tonga. She goes, "Hey, what he means is," and he explained everything to me. And I was like, "Oh yeah, what's your problem? What's your problem?" And I was running around, "What's your problem?" It was my first English, you know, saying, "So what's your problem?" I'm running around.
This is what it actually means. "Oh, okay, what's your problem? What's your
problem?" and that's how we started off. Egypt, he was trying everything to ignore me. And hello, hey, we would run around. He would not want to be near me, and I was like, "Ah, no, new toy." And I was like, "I got a new friend, and I'm gonna chase him." And I didn't realize that he was trying to run away from me, not, you know, run with me. So that was the whole. That was our first meet there, and I'll never forget it. Oh, that's wow. I laugh about that.
that's legendary right there. All right, so you're hitting it off with Tongaloa.
Yeah, clearly. we kicked off, man.
Learning some vocabulary from your cousin. What was your first impression of the people who eventually become your parents?
I didn't think much because I just thought, they came from America. America is like the country is a world country. Mm-hmm. And they're coming in for I don't know how long. And so after a while, I think they were staying for like a month or something. And so they started to see as we went on, about maybe 2 weeks in, maybe a week or something. Mm-hmm. I think it was maybe a week. I was still in school. And I remember, coming home. It was maybe, I'd get up in the morning, get in my school uniform, and I'd be out the door. I was gone. That was early in the morning, you know? And sometimes school starts at probably like 8 and I get up at 9:30 and I'm like, put on whatever and just get out the door and, you know, just try to leave somewhere, yep. Be out of sight. And I remember I came home maybe at 5 o'clock in the evening one day. Mm-hmm. And my aunt, Tangaloa's mom, she was looking at me and she was like, Tama, where have you been? And I was like, it was the first time somebody has ever asked me. Mm-hmm. What I've been doing, and I paused. I looked at her. I've been at school, and she looked at me, and she goes, "It's 5 o'clock. What time does school finish?" And I was like, "What?" Man, she grabbed me by the arm and dragged me back to school. We walked back to school. Okay. She went up. My teachers was there, still there. All mm-hmm. the principal and everybody was still there. She came in and she was talking to my teachers. And I remember standing there like wondering what is going on here. Mm-hmm. And she asked the teacher, you know, what's going on with me and all that. She goes, Tama hasn't been in school for months. And
you were caught.
I was like, oh, shit. Man, she yanked me and was walking me back to our house. And she had me in one arm. She had me in her left arm. And in the other hand, while we were walking, she was spanking me, beating my ass, walking back. And I was like a monkey on her left arm, swinging, trying to like try to dodge her arm, man. Try to dodge her right hand from hitting my ass. Man, and she was beating me up so bad. We got back and I was like, what the hell is going on around here? I'm like, who is this lady? Who the hell? And next thing I know, I remember that night, you know, my mom and my aunt, I remember them sitting on the front steps and they were talking about something. And I was like, man, they're whispering and they keep looking at me. They're whispering and looking at me.
Yeah, you know they're talking.
Yeah.
You don't want to go over there.
What's going on here? And then,
you've already been whooped once today. You don't want to like.
So they called me over and they're all like, Tama, how would you like to go to America? And I'm like, what? America? Hell yeah. Let me get, who's what? Let's go. Let's go. We going now. And yeah, you go to America, you get to see all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, let's go. Who's on? And yeah, like the following week, mm-hmm. I was on a plane to Hawaii and from Hawaii to America. But I had to go to Hawaii first and hang out with my grandparent, with my grandma till my aunt and them was finished their vacation because they still had their vacation to finish out.
So they came over on vacation and realized, you know what, we're gonna adopt the kid, but we gotta finish this vacation. So
You know, we're gonna be here. Let him go get situated in Hawaii with grandma. Let him stay with grandma, and you know, which is you know my mom's mom, yep. And hang out over there, and then we'll come this way and pick him up on the way back. And which I was like, hell yeah, I'm cool. Little did I know that was the last time I was gonna see the island, you know. And then,
so when they send you to Hawaii, you still don't. It's still not fully.
No, nobody really told me anything. Okay. They said I was going. I thought I was going to visit.
I thought you were going on a vacation.
I'm gonna go check it out, kick it old school, grab some shit, make some McDonald's, come back. And also,
Hawaii, you're gonna go to Florida, get some McDonald's, come back. All right, so. I love that.
You know, shake Mickey's hand, say what's up, do a little dab.
So what was Hawaii? How long were you in Hawaii for? Like a week?
I think about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks.
Okay. And how was that kind of getting to know that? Because had you been to Hawaii before
I had been to Hawaii before to visit my grandma before. And okay. It was just a big, it was still an island, but it was like a city island, you know? And
gotcha.
I just, it was whatever to me. I didn't really.
But yeah, because you're still in vacation. You're not imprinting on the area because you don't realize the gravity.
I wasn't allowed to. That's when my lockdown started to happen. Once I left the island, Tonga, that's when I went to Hawaii, and I wasn't allowed to really go anywhere. When in Tonga, I was like freely just roaming around like a Neanderthal, you know. So,
that's where the road to the Air Force begins, where you've got got your aunt pretty much within the first. It sounds like the first few days of meeting you, your aunt's already taking a vested interest in your schooling, whooping you down the street for not attending school.
Oh, yo, yeah,
sending you off to live with your grandmother to get some.
Oh yeah, my aunt, man. I think I've said this before. She's strict. She's like
you've said, she's the drill instructor that prepared you.
She's the backbone of our family for sure.
Yeah.
What's crazy, you know, I'm gonna move you ahead. When they came in and picked me up from Hawaii, we got to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I came in and I was like, oh my God, Florida was, to me, everything was shiny. That airport, that Orlando airport was huge. Mickey Mouse everywhere. Yeah,
they had a nice airport in Orlando. They really
did. Yeah. And this is a crazy thing. I remember Haku, you know, my dad standing there, and he was waiting. I was wearing this huge ass dude standing there. And my mom came up and she had me by the hand and she looked at him. He's like, look, don't be mad. He's coming to stay with us. Okay. He didn't even know I was coming.
Oh, Haku didn't even know at this point. It's literally just your aunt the whole plan.
She brought me. Uh-huh. Nobody knew except for her and her sister. My mom brought me. He got filled in right there at the airport. And, man, he's such a G. He just took it. He's like, all right, let's go. We got in this Lincoln Navigator. I was like, damn, it's a spaceship. It was a black Lincoln Navigator. I was like, man, this is crazy. And we were driving. And I remember the billboard. It had a Terminator 2, T2. Like, it was a metal skeleton with the red eyes. And it was like a light on his eyes. I was like, this is nuts. Where am I? This is the future. I was like, this is crazy. And yeah, man. And he was, I remember him driving in this sweet as Lincoln Navigator. It was a Lincoln Town Car. I'm sorry.
Okay. Lincoln's 90s were spaceships though.
Yeah.
Whether it's a big one, whether it's a small one. They did have that future.
It was a black Lincoln Town Car, and that bad boy was sweet. And I remember him just, and this here to our left is this, and this here on our right is, that's our swimming pool. And I was like, what the hell is a swimming pool? You know, no, I said like a beach or like the ocean or what was
that's when he reminds you're in Central Florida now.
Yeah, so that was my that was my introduction into into Florida right there.
Florida is your introduction to America. That's
America, man.
So is it when your aunt is explaining to Haku that you're staying with them, is that when you start to understand that you're going to be living there? I we've got a lot to cover, but I do
there's, like, there's so it. Much yeah like that was just yeah that was just a
definitely gonna be two episodes
and that's just me coming into Florida. The rest of that, I still had no clue that I was coming to stay. I still thought I was coming in for vacation, kick it back.
Your brother Leo had just been born in like February of that year, right? Because 91 is also
91. He was born in February 91 and I took off of June 91, so we only hung out for like, I only babysit him for maybe 2-4 months, you know, before I left. So that he comes into the picture a little bit later, but
I'm just saying, because in 91 you're in Florida, you still don't know you're gonna live with them, you know, like we just had a baby brother, like I'm not the world is your oyster at the moment, even though you don't have full agency of what's going on.
I think that's a good point there to us to cut off, because that is another episode from that point on. It's the whole Florida beginning, and there's so much that I've got to tell you about that the first 3 years in Florida was my introduction to, man, just knowing, finding out who now my father is, what Resch was, meeting Hulk Hogan's 40th birthday on a boat.
I'm gonna put a pin in that because it sounds like some crazy stuff from
I was coming into a hot spot, man.
Yep. But just so that way we can kind of tie a bow on the Isle of Tonga, you said that you finally came back to Tonga 25 years later.
Yeah.
Give me a little more on how that was. How was the revisiting to Tonga? You said, like, it's a smaller place now because you're a bigger person. It's a different vibe. But what was the experience like of revisiting the island and kind of seeing it again?
Nothing really changed.
Yeah.
No, you know, I hate to say it.
No.
It breaks my heart.
Yeah.
But I felt like it just dimmed down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much my thoughts on that.
And I don't want to make you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to make you dig too much through the mud on it, but I just because I feel like we have to address the fact that you do eventually go back there. But the next time we talk, we'll talk about the fact that you were then in Florida, about to be adopted by Haku, and about to become the brother of Tongaloa. There's a lot we're about to talk about when we get to.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And Ross, good subject, man. It was nice to dive back in and talk, you know, kind of relive those moments. I'm happy to share that with everybody. Hopefully you guys enjoy that. Ross, thank you very much. You guys, thank you for joining us. We'll see you guys next week on here on Tama's Island. Ross, what's our social media, man? I don't know mine, so you go ahead, plug in yours, man.
All right. Well, first, let me get yours in because people are here for you. You got the good bad guy, Tama Tonga, on Instagram, @Tama_Tonga on Twitter, @Tama's Island on Instagram and Twitter. I'm @RossWBermanIV. Again, thank you for this, Tama. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to like take you through your childhood. I mean,
thank
this
you.
It's nice. A unique experience, man. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You guys enjoy your week. We'll see you guys next week here on Tama's Island.
Ain't nobody really than gorilla. Ain't nobody really than gorilla. I said, ain't nobody really than gorilla. Ain't nobody really than gorilla. Gorilla tactics. Whoa. Face. No, we ain't tapping out. What? Y'all ain't but this way. Whoa, gorilla tactics. Ain't nobody really than gorilla. Gorilla tactics. Ain't nobody really than gorilla.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.